Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Lord of the Inferno, Volume 2 of War of the Fathers. Hello and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. We are continuing to read Lord of the Inferno. Last week we read, Adar, Kira hissed. Stop gaping at the sky. He needs shelter, and we need a safe place. Come on, Adar said. This way. When we get to the arches, we'll find somebody to care for him so you can fetch your family. I'll be looking for Donnie now, too, Kira said. Adar ground his teeth but kept his mouth shut. He couldn't very well begrudge her that. But he had a feeling things weren't going to be getting any easier. As they ran, he pictured Hunway up in their ships frantically trying to figure out what had happened to their comrades below, and a small thin smile crossed his face. It disappeared when he passed the corpse of a woman that looked as though she'd been trampled to death. Kira passed without stopping, so it must have been somebody she did not know. Bloody Melia, he thought. I have stumbled into a wasp's nest that had been dunked in honey, rolled in sugar, and thrown into a pit of bears. And a dozen feral cats and dogs have been thrown in for good measure, while the eagles circle overhead. New opportunities to die and bodies of the dead greet me at every turn. It was indeed going to take a miracle to get out of all of this alive. And now, Chapter 11. Wiping the rain out of his eyes, Adar blinked and looked around. His senses were heightened to a level that they had not been before. Kira had done a good job of getting Lars to calm down. Lars was no longer screaming at the top of his lungs, but the boy was still fussy. So much for hoping to catch Tear unaware, Adar thought. The street looked much like any other. There weren't as many dead, but there were a greater number of homes that had been leveled by the Hunway bombs. Adar supposed that most of the occupants of this street had been caught in the wreckage. At some point, search parties needed to be organized so that those who were still alive could be rescued. With the governor's mansion destroyed, Adar hoped there would be somebody else who would take charge of the city and see all of that was done, assuming, of course, the Hunway didn't come back to finish the job. Adar didn't know enough about the political structure here to venture a guess as to who that would be. Hopefully, it would not be Isaac. Adar had not met the man, but he sounded like a fool. Smoke curled up from the wreckage of the nearest home, but it had not caught fire. That was a small mercy. The streets weren't as wide here, and the homes were closer together. If a fire were to start, it would be hard to keep from spreading. When Adar realized that things were too quiet, he looked back at Kira and saw she had Lars' head tucked under her coat. The babe's eyes were opened and looked out at the bleak world. The kid was old enough he might be able to walk and was probably just on the verge of learning to mimic words. Jorad had been a lot of fun at that age. Adar made eye contact with Kira, who gave him a tight smile. He nodded back. They made their way down the rest of the street in silence. A scream came from up ahead, and Adar darted forward around a corner, blaster at the ready. He lowered his weapon when he saw it came from a woman who was hunched over the body of a man. Her hair and dress were drenched, her legs covered in mud. She probably started the day wearing two sandals, but she was missing one. It was difficult for Adar to determine her hair color as it was dirty, but by her face he wouldn't have thought her much older than 25. The scene made him think of Nellian's last moments, and his mind went to his own son when he noticed several small children with a woman. The rain didn't seem to bother her, but her children were shivering. The oldest child was red-eyed and wailing. The younger didn't look like she was old enough to understand what was going on. She tugged on the pant leg of the dead man, saying, Dada, over and over again. For a moment, Adar was no longer running through the rain down a street in Zekirani. Instead, he found himself in the Rarbon Palace, kneeling over the body of his wife. He was glad that Jorad didn't have the image of his mother's body as his final memory of her. The way Adar had found her body was grisly enough that he had never been able to come to terms with it, and had always kept the full details from Jorad. Lightning flashed through the sky and brought him back to the present. I'll make Tear pay for all the years he took away from us, Adar thought. It grated on him that Tear could be talking with Jorad, spinning a story that obfuscated what had happened between them. That murderer is probably holding the tablet, trying to figure it out. It had not lit up for Tear in the same way it had for Adar. That might mean Tear would have a hard time getting it to work. Taking a deep breath, Adar forced himself to think of Nellian in her old scribe outfit to push away the memory of the blood in her hair. His love for her replaced the horrid image as he took several steps toward the woman, but stopped short as Kira came up behind him. The dead man had taken a blaster hit to the lower neck and shoulder. His face was mangled badly enough the woman must have recognized him more by his clothing than anything else. Adar hesitated, unsure what to do. He had lost precious time emptying captives out of the cargo holds of the ship, fighting with turncoats, rescuing Kira, dealing with Arrow and Nir, and fighting more turncoats and killing Isaac's men. This mother and her children may have been among those that he had liberated. They had a familiar look to them. Because he knew what it was like to lose a spouse, he also knew that any words he might offer her would be cold comfort against the pain she was feeling. He turned away, ashamed of his decision, but knowing that he needed to stop Terra from escaping with Darren's tablet to keep the people of Zekerani safe. If the Hunwe were to return, that woman and her children's best hope of survival depended on him having the tablet in hand to activate the tower. Kira pushed past him. "Ma'am, you need to get your children out of the rain. They are going to get sick." The woman looked up at her. "Gone, gone. It happened so quick. Alive, then dead." Her tears mingled with the rain as her eyes grew wider. "Then they dragged us away," she said. "I fought, but it did no good." "I know," Kira said. "Same thing happened to me. It's a terrible shame. Confounded bloody shame. Your children are freezing, and the monsters aren't gone. You need to move. Come back to him when it's safer." "He wasn't the best," the woman said, "but he wasn't the worst either. Mostly it was bad only when he was drinking. Hit the kids some. Me too, for that matter. Not that we didn't deserve it, but he was what we had. What now? What now? All is lost." A firm line formed on Kira's face. "You're better off." Adar spoke over her. "Where is home for you?" He offered the weeping woman a hand. After hesitating, she took it and pointed to a home several buildings away. It was in bad need of a paint job, and there were several shingles missing from the roof. The door was still intact. That was more than could be said for most of the buildings. He pulled her towards it while scooping up the smallest child, trusting the other to follow. When the woman wasn't looking, he shot Kira a look. She scowled in response but didn't finish what she'd been about to say. At the porch of the home, Adar set down the girl and released the woman's hand. He opened the door and showed them in. "Mike, my poor Mike," the woman sobbed. "I just can't leave him there." "We'll fetch him," Adar said. "Wait here." Kira made another face but handed Lars off to the woman and followed Adar back into the rain. "She should be happy he's gone," Kira said when they were out of earshot. "Drunk and abusive? We should be burning his body, not bringing him in so that he can have his final rites done." "Don't speak ill of the dead," Adar said. "At least not where she can hear. If you had finished what you were saying, she would have chased us away." "I'm not touching his body. You can drag him by yourself," Kira said. Adar bit off a curse. "This woman will be out here again as soon as we leave, her children too. Best we can do for them is to see that she stays in till this all blows over." "I don't like your lack of concern." Kira hefted the blaster as if testing its weight. "You think a man has a right to hit his wife?" Adar snorted. "Where I come from, any man foolish enough to do something like that would be lucky if the woman only responded in kind. Some women give as good as they get, most do better." Kira didn't have a response. Adar crouched and picked up the legs of the dead man, and she took his arms. By the time that they were back to the house, the woman met them at the door with a blanket, having passed Lars off to her oldest child. Lars wriggled free when they entered and took several stumbling steps in the room, an uncertain look on his face. The woman ushered them in. She directed them to put the body on the floor after she arranged the blanket. Adar and Kira left a trail of mud as they moved, but the woman didn't notice and only had eyes for the dead man. Once that was done, Adar moved back to the door, but stopped short when a group of men appeared from around the corner. It wasn't as great in number as the one he had hid from earlier, but he recognized Isaac as he retreated. The men weren't looking Adar's way, but he brought up his blaster, still the same. 4 men, Adar thought. I could put them all down before they know what's happening. He hesitated before he went back inside the home, a frown on his face. Once he was out of sight, he decided to leave the door open. It wouldn't be conspicuous when compared with the neighboring homes. If he had shut it, there was always the chance they might think it looked out of place and come to investigate. After he'd given the men enough time to pass, he looked back out as Kira approached and looked over his shoulder. Lars was snuggled in a blanket Kira had gotten from the woman. His eyes stared out at the rain. "There is Isaac," she said, "and Billy. If you had killed them when you had the chance or let me do it, none of this would have happened. One flick of my wrist and we wouldn't be running for our lives. Other men would still be alive. I don't remember how many men Isaac has working for him, but there's a bloody lot more of them than us." "Don't remember?" Adar asked. "The men seemed to be on the lookout for anything suspicious, but weren't making an effort to sweep the homes. They think I'm still running," Adar thought, "and have broken into groups to search for me." "How well do you know Isaac anyway?" he asked. Kira bit her lip before answering. "He courted me until I came to my senses." Now that was an interesting tidbit he wished he had known earlier. Not that it would have changed anything he had done, it did put everything into a different new light, though. After the men had disappeared, Kira moved as if to go out the door, but he grabbed her arm and held her back. "Give it a minute." After the men had disappeared, Kira moved as if to go out the door, but he grabbed her arm and held it back. "Give it a minute," he said. As they waited to make sure the way was clear, Nir and Arrow appeared on the street heading in the opposite direction. Arrow's face was taut, and his eyes were slits. He scowled at everything he saw. Adar hoped that Jorad was in the Arches. If his son were to run into Arrow, Jorad would be forced to kill the lad. The last thing Jorad needed was another unnecessary death on his shoulders. Adar shook his head. All this over a girl. Perhaps the reason for his irrational state was due to the guilt at what had come from his lie. Arrow had lied, saying that he had seen Jorad with Braum the night that he had been killed. Despite the tension between the Raheeds and the Palers, Nir and Arrow were good men. It bothered Adar that Jorad had been forced to kill decent men. He would have protected his son from having to experience that if he could. With Jorad going to make a claim and about to become a redeemed general, Adar had known that one day Jorad would likely have to kill. It didn't help that there seemed to be so many men that needed killing. Kira moved as if to head out, but once again Adar took hold of her arm. "What now?" she asked. "Aren't those the men you saved earlier?" Adar snorted. "It's best they don't know I'm here." "Hunwe," Kira said. "Men in Hunwe armor. Isaac. Random men from out of town. Me. You have managed to piss off a lot of people." Adar didn't respond. "She left out Ter, but she doesn't know about him. Yet. That'll change when we get to the Arches, and I kill him." It was not far now. They couldn't be more than a block away from the Arches, and they were yet to have come across a living Hunwe. That was encouraging. "We should go. They are gone now." Kira looked at him. "Unless there's somebody else you're running from." "Chasing after is more accurate," Adar thought. He didn't answer as he took a final look at the bereaved woman. She was once again bent over the body of her husband. Her girls were on either side. At least they were now out of the rain. He was glad Kira had been here. She had known that the woman had needed help. His focus had been elsewhere, and the need to get them out of the rain hadn't even crossed his mind. Plunging into the downpour at a run, Adar shivered at the shock of cold. Kira was right behind him, carrying Lars close to her chest. The moment she had entered the rain, Lars burst into a tantrum, screaming at the top of his lungs. Adar brought up his blaster, making sure his hand covered the button on the front of the weapon while keeping his finger close to the trigger. Just a few more minutes and they would be in the safety of the Arches. "I was expecting an ambush because the Hunwe were all dead," he thought. "But I forgot to take into account the fact that Ter had enough time to make it back to the Arches before the tower killed the Hunwe. He might not have known about what happened." Adar growled quietly. He had also forgotten that Ter was always more about saving his own skin than seeking revenge. Once Ter was dead and Adar had the tablet, he would call a council with the others. The tablet meant there was no longer the urgent need for Jorad to return to Rarbon for the sole purpose of making a claim. While there weren't towers like Vigorok anywhere near Rarbon, there were undoubtedly other weapons hidden away. Perhaps Darren's tablet would access them as well. If that was the case, having Jorad make a claim so that he could begin the process of getting into Rarbon's portal was not as critical. In fact, it could be a waste of time if the Rarbon Council continued to be more concerned about the games they played amongst themselves, rather than opening their eyes to the true danger the Hunwe represented. It had been that way when Adar was there, and he gathered from the others things had not changed much. Rarbon was full of secrets, and Adar had never believed that entering through the Rarbon portal was the only way to learn them. It was only the most readily available. He had once caught a glimpse into the portal, and he wasn't convinced it was everything it was said to be. Unfortunately, he had never felt that he could take the chance that it wasn't what everybody believed. He slid to a halt and leaned up against the rock wall of a home to catch his breath. wiping rain out of his eyes while his sides heaved. The hair on his arm stood on edge. It had been that way since the tower had done its thing, but he was only now recognizing it. He had been so wrapped up in everything that had happened that he had not realized that the air had a tingle to it. Well, isn't that strange, he thought. Even with the rain, I wonder what it means. He dismissed it from his mind, assuming that it was an after effect of the tower and nothing to worry about. Kira pulled up beside him. Lars was whimpering now, and she had pulled her coat up so it covered his face. Between the rain and the coat, the sound of Lars' discomforts would be muffled enough that they should be able to move in relative silence. How much further? Kira asked. Not far now, Adar said. Are you ready? When she nodded, he took off at a run again. The further they went, the more they ran into people, moving about as if it were not raining. They hid from the first several groups, afraid they might have been more of Isaac's men, but after that, there had been too many of them to hide from them all. Most of those they came across were calling out names. Others were wandering as if in a daze, uncertain what to make of the events that had transpired. Adar himself didn't even understand what had happened and had been the cause of it. The towers raised many questions. The Hunwe had lit up and burned as if they were dry tinder on a hot day that had been placed too close to the fire. If their fathers had been able to do that, why hadn't they destroyed all of the Hunwe during the last invasion? Had the technology not been developed until after the Hunwe had left? It was also remarkable that only the Hunwe had been affected. How did that work? I'm just glad the tower didn't destroy us too, he thought. I was certain I'd killed us all. He was glad now that he had armed the tower. But for several minutes there, he had become convinced that his rash action was the stupidest thing he had ever done, and was about to result in the deaths of thousands of people. He was grateful the tower builders had the foresight to make it not harm humans. They never expected the turncoats, though, he thought. Well, it doesn't matter. If the towers can take care of the Hunwe, I can build an army to hunt down the bloody turncoats. Adar felt relief when he turned onto a street he recognized. He was beginning to wonder if he was somehow headed in the wrong direction. He had been off in his guess about where they were before, but now he was certain the arches were just the next street over. Looking behind to make sure that Kira was keeping up with him, he increased his speed.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com. and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker, all rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions LLC.